This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You're watching Gaddis TV, coming to you live all the way from right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah. Thought I heard a hallelujah. Yeah. I know where we are. We're actually, Memphis has been labeled as the buckle on the Bible belt. Did you know that? This is the buckle on the Bible. Where'd this come from? No. It's okay. I'll take it in the bottle. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. The sea and the water thing, I'm going to tell you something. The other night, somebody brought me a bottle of water. And I said, oh, thank you very much, you know, because I like good water, to drink water that you know you're sure of. And I looked on it, and it's from the same neighborhood where I live, and we never drink the water there. I said, are you joking, right? This is the same place in California where I live. No way. Anyway, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This brings us to one of our topics that we're talking about people being worried about what they drink, what they eat, and now even who you shake hands with. Because, excuse me. So don't worry about it. You know. Whoa. What does it mean? You already got it, right? Everybody got it. But it's not really a joke, is it? It's not funny. But most of you, I don't think you need to worry, because I think I'm like the oldest guy here, and that they said that mostly it just happens to old people that are infirm. So if there's one in the room, yeah, right. Anyhow, so did you know that there is something in Islam for this? If I got it on my phone. There is a dua that the Prophet used to say for exactly this. Would anybody like to know what it is? Anybody like to know? Yeah? The problem, I forgot my glasses again. I can't read it. I can't see it. Huh? No, it's in my house in California. We'll wait. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah. Maybe I can make it bigger. I think you can do that with this phone, right? Let me see. Oh, yeah. I can make it bigger. It's a dua that you make in seeking refuge with Allah from skin disease, all right? And I had a reaction to roses one time. Insanity, you watch the program and you can figure that one out. Leprosy, and all major illnesses. This is a dua for all of this, in one dua. This is from the Prophet ﷺ. It said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-barasi wal-jununi wal-juthami wa min sayyal asqam. Did I get it right? How many know this one? Yeah, how close was I? 50-50? Yeah. More than 50-50? Subhanallah. All right. With no glasses? That's pretty cool. So this dua, if a person is having iman in Allah and he's making this dua, this is seeking refuge with Allah, the creator of the universe. And I've talked to doctors. Do we have any doctors here tonight? In the medical profession, let's do that. Okay? All right. So, any doctor who's been doctoring for a while, You can ask him, did you ever see anything that was really strange? And that, even before you say what you mean by strange, he'll say, yeah. Yeah. Seem strange things. Like a patient who has nothing wrong with them. You check them out, they're good to go, and then they like get real sick or die the very next day. That can happen. And I'm not talking about in a car wreck, just so-called natural causes. Also, somebody could be diagnosed with some real horrible thing, and then a few months later they come back and there's no trace of it. Then you start suspecting that maybe somebody made a mistake in the lab. Maybe they mixed up somebody else's report or whatever. Could be, you know? But actually, in the reality of things, everything is really up to Allah. Is that right? And I've had medical doctors from the Arab countries especially, but from everywhere, Muslims, who, when they tell you, take this medicine, and inshallah, it will help. But they like to say, inshallah. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. I just remembered something. You know, you can say Bismillah under your breath. You just like, you know, you don't even have to move your lips when you eat or drink. So my little daughter, when we were first coming into Islam, she was new to everything, just like I was, but she was little. So one time, we're eating. She said, Daddy, did you say Bismillah? I said, yeah. I didn't hear you. So I said, Bismillah. She said, yeah, but you're already eating, so now you have to say Bismillahi wa al kiru. Okay. Bismillahi wa al kiru. It is good for us to set the example, though, for our children if we're going to be an example for them. Set the example, mashallah. We've been talking now about a couple of things. Before we started the program up, I was telling the brothers and sisters here about an ayah in the Quran, actually a surah in the Quran, and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The surah is called Surah Ikhlas, and it goes like this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. The meaning of it, plus or minus in English, this is really about monotheism or tawheed in Arabic language, because it's featuring exactly who God is and who He isn't. It's saying, say. The first word is say. Now we find this in the Bible. We find this in the Bible. In the book of Jeremiah, there are a number of their verses that start out, say, S-A-Y, just like that. So this is, for anybody who doesn't know much about Islam, and you hear this and you say, why does it say kul? Well, it's coming from the same God, all right? And by the way, he didn't take my permission to send it, so I don't know. All right, let's leave it at that. Anyway, it says, Qul hu Allahu ahad. Say he is Allah. Ahad. Now, what is ahad? That's why I said monotheism. Mono meaning one. Mono is one. A monolithic means something is one by itself, or a mono line. If you're using for fishing, it's just like one line, mono. So this is the idea, mono, ahad. In Arabic, when you're counting, The word for one is wahid. Wahid. Ithna, thalatha, arba, comes like this. But when you come to this word, it's different, but it's from the same root. Ahad and wahid, that sounds alike, but you just reverse something. Wahid, ahad. What's the difference? Because no two is going to come after it. It means uniquely one. There's not anything else like it. So that sets a tone for what we're going to say. Kul hu Allahu ahad. Say he is Allah. He is uniquely one. Allahu samad. Then it goes on to say, and Allah is samad. What is samad? That's one of his names or attributes or characteristics. It's saying that he is independent of his creation. He doesn't need the creation, but the creation needs him. He's totally independent of everything. He's not dependent on anything. That's one translation of it. Then it goes on to say, Qul hu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam Yalid. What is lam? Lam means no way. No way. Plain English, no way. Lam yalid. Not the father of anybody. Lam yulad. And not the son of anybody. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there's nothing like him at all. He is ahad. Back to that subject of monotheism. Is that cool? Now, for a Christian, they might want to argue with that. Because some Christians are saying Jesus is God. Jesus never said that. Not even in the translations of the Bible, it doesn't say that. But it does say very clear in the Bible, in the book of, in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. It says it real crystal clear. God is not a man. Wow. That he should sin, and God is not the son of man that he would need to repent. Humans sin. All humans make mistakes. But by the way, FYI, for your information, that's why Allah created us. He didn't create us to be angels. Did you think that you were supposed to come into this life and not make mistakes? Huh? I used to think that. I used to think I was a real bad person because I made mistakes. When I come to Islam, I found out, no, you're supposed to make mistakes. Don't do it on purpose. That's a different kind of mistake. But you're supposed to make mistakes. Allah didn't create you to be perfect. That's what angels are for. They are perfect. But they have no choice. Uh-oh. Now this opens the door for something else. You have a choice in everything you do. You have free choice. But by the way, I have to stop right here and give you another message. You do not have free will. What? Yeah, that's a misunderstanding. And it's a misuse of the English language when you say somebody has free will. They use it all the time. All the time. You got people talking about, I want my free will. My free will. Free will. Will means that you can will something to happen. God does that. Allah does that. He willed for the universe to be in existence. He willed for there to be light. He willed for there to be a world. He willed for you to be born. That's his will. He can do that. Now, if you think you have will power, try it out. Let's find out if you do. Maybe you do. I don't know. Let's see. Everybody like Lamborghini, is that okay? Can we go for Lamborghini? Is it all right? Maybe Bentley? Something like that. All right, so what I want you to do, just will that there's going to be a Lamborghini with my name on the license plate in the parking lot when we get done. Wait a minute. And a gas tank that never goes empty. Go ahead. We'll wait. Actually, one time I was in a prison and we were talking with somebody, a group, actually, and one of them, he said, I don't believe in God. I am my own God. I said, really? He said, yes, I am God to me. I said, you mean you really can? He said, I have willpower. I said, oh, really? You can will yourself to do whatever you want to do? He said, yes. I said, okay, the rest of us in the prison right now, we're all curious to know why God wants to be in here. I mean, seriously. Willpower is exclusive only for the one who has will, and that's a law. What we do have, is choice. You have choices all the time. You can choose to try to do something. Will you do it? Inshallah, maybe. Mumkin. Yeah? Is that true? Maybe you will do it. Maybe you won't. But that was your choice. Or niya, your intention. So once we understand this, now we're beginning to get the idea behind God and us. There is a difference. We are not gods. We are not. We were created by God. And Allah created all of us in the perfect way that He wanted us to be created. And when we were born, we had the best relationship with Him. Innocent. Innocent. Aslama in Arabic. All of us were born on Aslama. That's what the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us. All of us were born in that condition. But it's our parents who will raise us to come up to be Jews, Christians, Majusi, you know, fire worshiper, or whatever we become. Is that right? Of course, the influence of what you grow up in the first 7 years is really big. The Catholic Church used to say this about converts and raising the children up. They said, get them before they're seven, before they're eight, before it's too late, because the magic number seven right there, they want to get, because by 7 years old, you pretty much got the direction you're going to go in your life. Get them before they're eight, before it's too late. That's what they used to say. Anyway, to come back to the subject, choice. You have choices. Do you know what my choices are going to be? No, of course not. Do I know what your choices are going to be? No, of course not. Nobody knows anybody else's real choices. You can see what people do, but you don't know what their intention or their niya was. Is that true or false? But the one who created us, not only does he know all the choices you're going to make, he already knew the choices you would make before he created you. But he created all of us on an even playing field. All of us were created equal. In that, we all have this one thing when we're starting out, aslama. Now, I want to jump to another subject, and I think you can figure it out after you hear it. Suppose somebody goes into court, and he has a lawyer with him. And the lawyer is going to defend this person against some charges. And now the judge has heard everything, and he's going, it sounds like this guy is pretty bad. The lawyer stands up and he said, and I want you to finish the statement for me, okay? No, Your Honor, my client is as innocent as a... Newborn baby. Exactly. Now, well, there's a problem with this. If you're a follower of the Old Testament, it says these babies are born in sin. But that's not what Islam teaches. No. No, babies are born innocent. You're born into a family maybe that's making sins, and then by the age 7, you're going to pick it up. Yep, that is exactly what we know. But the baby itself is born innocent. All right, now, why am I talking about this? Because this is where a lot of our brothers and sisters, Muslims, are going out of Islam on this. It's called the Qadr of Allah. Everybody knows what's Qadr? Put your hand up if you know what's Qadr of Allah. You got it? Qadr? Okay. Somebody doesn't know, put your hand up. You don't know what's Qadr? Okay. Qadr, it means that Allah has everything already designed, already worked out, and it's all going to happen according to His plan. There's nothing you can do to surprise Allah, because He already knows everything that's going to happen even before He created. There are many hadiths about this, but I'm going to skip over that for the benefit of the folks watching this at home. We're going to get to the point. Some people will say, well, if everything's already designed, that means no matter what I do, it was already prescribed for me. I have no option. I couldn't help it, right? No. It's not right. You always have the choice, yes or no? I said that. You got choice. You don't have will. Unless I've seen that Lamborghini in the parking lot with my license plate on it tonight, I know you don't have any will. And by the way, I don't mind eating my words if you can make it happen. Alhamdulillah. But just focus for a minute on something. We are not God. So you and I, we can't even begin to comprehend the mentality. You're trying to put something like put an ocean in a thimble. You can't. That's crazy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all of this all planned out. He could have created us and just put us. As soon as He created us, He knew right away this group is destined for hellfire. And this group is destined for paradise. He could have done that. It would be so easy. And no fault of His. But the ones in the paradise would be saying, I must be here because I deserve it. Huh? Yeah. I'm pretty cool. Look at me. I'm in paradise. And the ones in the hellfire would be saying, what did I do? I didn't even get a chance. Now do you see? Now we go through this game, chessboard, or whatever it is that we're doing, called the Hayat Dunya, the life of this world. We go through this, and then when we die, oh, good news, good news. I have very good news. Everybody gets brought back. That's good news for an atheist, because they don't believe that. They'll be brought back. Everybody gets to be brought back. Yes, regardless of what religion you are or lack of it, you'll be brought back. The bad news is not everybody's going to Jannah. Not everybody goes to paradise. Is that right? Oops. Oops. Now we see the problem. So what your choices are now, Allah already knows. So how does it make it fair? Do you know what's going to happen? I don't. But He does. The reason it's fair is because you don't know. You make your choices. You do your best. Allah will do the rest. Simple as that. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back right after this. But I want everybody to stay exactly where you are, especially at home. Watch this. It's coming up right now. It's not a commercial. We don't do commercials, but we got something we want to show you. So watch. Stay there. Stay guided with Guidus TV. Clear. Thank you.
40 seconds.
Our viewership has increased almost double in the last year and a half. And it keeps increasing on a daily basis. We've seen just in this 2020 already an increase of about 20 to 25% across the board. And that's amazing considering that we have constantly around 1 million viewers just on social media before we even talk about the satellite. Satellite covers all of Canada, all the United States, Hawaii, Alaska, even Bermuda, and parts of the Caribbean, and even a part of the northern Mexico. Is that cool? Yeah. So when we go back on, I should say something in Spanish, right? My Tex-Mex went on by. Mixed together, right? It's a good chance for me to do this. And we're back. We told you it would just be just a short time. I want to pick up exactly where we left off. We were talking about the qadr of Allah. We're talking about people's choices. We're talking about how it is that life is really fair. Sometimes people will say, that's not fair. You heard that? It's not fair. Life's not fair. Really? Really? Maybe the choices that you're making are not fair. Maybe the things that you're expecting are not fair. Maybe. Look at this. If Allah already knows everything that's going to happen, then why would we have to go through this? It isn't for Allah. Does Allah need us to do this? One of the big mistakes is to think that God needs us. That he needs our love, that he needs our obedience, that he has no needs. We already determined that with the first part of the surah that we read. Samad, he has no needs. He doesn't need anything from any of us. If all of us came together, you know the hadith, if all the humans in jinn came together and try to benefit Allah, it won't help. It won't make a difference to him. And if all the humans and all of the jinn come together to try to take away something, it won't take anything away from Allah. Nothing. So understand that you're only here in this life so that on the day of judgment, you have no excuse. Now, what about that? I think like this. My mother taught the retarded children. That's what she did. So I saw a lot of these kids that can't really think straight. They can't. They don't have the IQ for it. They don't have the makeup for it. So I asked about that. They said this is mentioned in Hadith, that those who are not able to comprehend, they'll only be asked what they could understand. Have you ever noticed, by the way, I don't know if you had an experience with special needs children, but some of them are very, very simple, very easy to love and easy to be loving. Very simple. Because they don't have this complicated idea of what I'm going to get out of this dunya. So let's wrap this up and I'm going to tell you about the hadith. The qadr of Allah, simply put, is Allah already knows the choices you make. So how is it fair? Because you don't know what choices you will make. You don't know what's going to happen, but he does. Because he knows what's going to happen and he knows the choices you're going to make, so you're already destined to wherever you're going to go. Now, you could be on a path to go one way, really bad, but wake up and then decide, you know what, I need to change, and you will change that destiny because that really wasn't going to be your destiny anyway. Because Allah knew you would change and that you would do the good things, hopefully, and be a true believer. So that's the understanding of the Qadr. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the last days that this is the problem Muslims would have over the Qadr. And we have seen it. I've seen Muslims actually argue about this and they don't believe in it. Even some people calling to Islam saying that Allah doesn't know what's going to happen. What? His name is Al-Alim. Hello? That means he is the knowledge. It doesn't mean he has knowledge. He is the knowledge. There's no knowledge in the whole universe except it come from the one who created it. يَلَامُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمَا خَفَهُمْ وَلَّا يُهِتُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ إِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَشَاءَ. Wow. He said it clear. He has all knowledge of everything and you don't have any knowledge except he gives it to you. Wow. So, yeah, he knows. Now, let's go to the second one. The second one was the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Ad-dunya sijnu mu'min wa jannatu kafir. Dunya. What is dunya? It's a word in Arabic that is very low and abased. It is like, let me put it to you in Tennessee terms, Texas terms, Tennessee terms, same thing. You were walking through a cow pasture, you know, and I look down at my boot and I look at it, I say, oh man, I stepped in dunya. Yeah, you got that. Right. There you go. This is dunya. The hayat dunya. Hayat means life. The life of this world. Hayat dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, a dunya sijnan. Mu'min. What is sijn? What is sijn? Prison, jail. What is mu'min? A believer. So this world that we live in is a prison to a true believer. Wa jannah and paradise, al-kufar, to the disbeliever. The people who want to make this life that we're in a paradise are really the biggest suckers on the planet. Sucker, you know what, like a con man pulled a deal on you and at the end you got nothing. Now think about it just a second. Hold on. Anybody seen Graceland? You've been by Graceland, you know how big it is. It's nice. So you want a house like Graceland, okay? And it's got a big curved drive and it's got a fountain in the front. The water's going all over the place. And you got a swimming pool in the back, tennis court over on the side. Yeah, you get it. That's it. This is your house here, all right? And maybe you got a Bentley or a Lamborghini in the front yard in that circle drive. Whoa, all right, huh? And ladies, you got a man with a six-pack, and not one that he carried in from the store, but actually the stomach thing. Yeah? And you're like, that's cool. And guys, you got Dolly Parton for your wife, okay? This is your goal. This is your goal. I want. Actually, lusting for these things is exactly what the Bible tells us about and the Quran tells us about. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ all saying the same thing. If you're going after this world, it's a big mistake. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, anything you have more than what you need for a day is excess. Have you got enough to feed yourself for a day? Alhamdulillah. You got it? You got enough for today? Good to go. Everything you need for dunya is there. Is there anything in Islam said you have to have a PhD degree? No. Is there anything in Islam that said you have to have a big marble house? No. In fact, when a person dies, how much of all of that are they going to take in the grave with them? Now, some people in Texas, I don't know about Tennessee, but some people in Texas, they wanted to be buried with their favorite car. They did. No, they put the car down in the... Can you imagine that poor guy in there when he finds out, oh my God, why did I do all this? This doesn't work. All of the things that you're working for, this 401K. You can tell I don't have one, right? 401K, bank accounts, stocks, investments. I got this, I got that. Ah, ha, ha. I'm not saying you shouldn't work and do things, but be sure what your niyyah is for. Because if it's just you piling it up, what is that? What is it? This is a good example right here. This, I didn't plan this, but this is a good example of what I'm talking about. How many do you need? How many do you need? One. The only reason you'd have more than one is if it runs out of ink. Is that right? Now, we're maybe like this in front of Allah. We have a purpose. You have a purpose. And the Quran tells us the purpose that you have. What is our purpose? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنُّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said it in Surah Al-Dariyat. That He only created us to worship Him alone. That's what we were created to do. Just worship God alone without any partners. That is the first commandment that we read in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. You know no God beside me. Beside me there's no God. You shall have no other God beside me. And he said it three times like that. Is that, that's kind of clear, right? Is that what we have? Yeah, same thing. No God beside God. Now, you're created to worship something. All people are created to worship something. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Even if they don't believe in God, they worship something. Have you ever seen people at a football game? They go crazy, paint themselves up, and go nuts, absolutely nuts. If you say something against their team, they're ready to kill you. Huh? Is that not worship? A team? You're all excited about that? No. To the extent that you're willing to go out and break somebody's head? Wow. But there are people that do that. There are people that are so in love with some of the created things that they go nuts over it. What we're talking about is very simply, are you worshiping something other than the Creator? Because He created a lot of things. He said, I created you and what you do. That's in the Quran. I created you and what you do. Now, if this pen ran out of ink, if this pen right here ran out of ink, what would you do? Throw it away. You don't need it. And Allah didn't even need us to start with. We determined that in the first part of this program. Allah doesn't need us anyway. So what if we don't do what we were created to do? Ooh. He tells us about these people. Now, you heard about nice people, right? This is a nice person. He's a good guy. He takes care of his neighbors. You know, even in my garbage can, he pulled my garbage can back out of the street. All of the things that we know about this guy is good stuff. But he doesn't believe in God. The Quran tells us clearly that the one who didn't believe in God on the day of judgment, that canceled all of his good deeds. And with that, I would like to encourage all of us to stay tuned right here to find out more about Islam, Muslims, and what you need to do, what you don't need to do. Stay tuned, stay guided with Guidus TV. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So our program is not over here with us, it's just over there. I wanted to be sure that we understood that of the things that we have in this world have no real value to us in the grave, except for three. And this was from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said there are only three things that continue in the grave. Has anybody heard this hadith before? What's the first one? Huh? Sadaqa jariya? All right. Somebody following along after you've gone of something you set up for teaching or learning, etc. And the third one, a righteous child is making dua for you. Now, based on what I just said, would you like to have one of those three going on for you in the grave? Are you willing to give a gallon of gas for it? 1 gallon of gas. Would you do that? Who would do that for one of those? Well, we have a special tonight. You can get all three of those for 1 gallon of gas, $2 a day, to sponsor a child who is needing education, who is an orphan. And by the way, there's another hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, the one who takes care of the orphan is like this with me in Jannah. And this is the program we have, Mercy Without Limits. And to tell us more about it, we have Muhammad Hassan. Sheikh, do your thing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, we're going to have a question and answer session after I finish my 6 minutes presentation. أحمد الله حمد الحمد عباده الذاكرين وأصلي وأسلم على خير المرسلين اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين وتابعي التابعين بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعل تجمعنا هذا تجمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا أو غائب عنا شقيا أو محروما. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Muhammad Hassan. I work with this organization, Mercy Without Limits. We are not new in the field. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've been around for the last 7 years. We have 8 offices around the world, 1 in Turkey, in Syria, in Iraq, Jordan, Bangladesh, Sierra Leone, Ghana, and Lebanon. When we decided to help people out, subhanAllah Rabbil Alameen, we have created many programs, but we focus only on one program, which is orphans. And the reason for that, because those children that they're supposed to grow up with safety, with family, with future, those children that they found themselves in the middle of conflict and they don't know why they became orphaned. They do not know why they became in the middle of this conflict. Some of them, or many of them, they don't know how to read or write. Many of them, they don't know how or what looks like to sit in a classroom in a school. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Mercy Without Limits, when we decided to take care of the orphans, each single orphan will get 7 programs, not just food and shelter, no. Food, shelter, and clothes, this is given. We have something called psychological care, because those children that, especially that they were born in the last 5 years, they have seen more death than life. We have education, subhanAllah Rabbil Alameen, imagine 10, 15 years from now, if we did not educate our orphans today, what kind of ummah are we going to have? We have something called physical, as we do in here, twice a year, unless the kid need be to be seen by a doctor. And the last one, which is mother education. We show the mother how can she take care of her orphans. All of these programs just cost $60 a month for 12 months. Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen. If we are talking about this life, as the Sheikh was talking, what $60 can be used for in this life? Maybe you can buy some groceries for $60. Maybe you can put some gas in your car for $60. But Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen, what's in it for you if you decide to sponsor one orphan? Number one, you get ar-rahmah, al-maghfirah, the blessings, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, inshallah, you're going to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-jannah, as the Sheikh said, ana wa kafil yateem kahatayn. This is the qawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who sponsored the yateem, the orphan, will be my companion in al-jannah like that. Also, you're going to get a report. Everything you need to know about the boy or the girl, you have the choice of choosing a boy or a girl to sponsor. Also, you have the choice to sponsor a certain orphan from certain country. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You get to know everything you need to know about your orphan. Not just that. We facilitate for you, if you want to, a phone call through Skype to talk to this orphan that you have sponsored. Not just that. If you happen that you are traveling to one of these countries that I just mentioned, we'll facilitate for you to meet face-to-face with the orphan that you sponsor. Because it's not only about money, my dear brother and sister in Islam. I'm not here today to just encourage you to pay $60 a month to sponsor an orphan. No. These orphans, subhanahu rabbil alameen, they need to feel warm. They need to know that someone is taking care of them. Subhanallah rabbil alameen. Yani, imagine if I die today, I want my Muslim community to take care of my children. It's not just about money. So I'm going to take only 3 minutes out of your time. Is there anyone, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, tonight willing to sponsor maybe 3 orphans, inshallah, bismillah? 3 orphans, Allahu Akbar, takbir, takbir. Brothers and sisters, I'm from Dallas, Texas, and when we say takbir, the neighbor called 911 for us. Takbir! Our first sponsor tonight is a sister, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Can I have someone pass this over there, inshallah? Can I get one? Come on, habibi, come on, ta'ala. Then give those to back to the sister, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Okay, do we have the second one for 3, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen? 3 orphans, bismillah, barakallahu feekum, shaykhna, barakallahu feekum. There's some pains though. Anyone, inshallah, for 3 orphans? Anyone, bismillah. Type 2 orphans, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. 2 orphans, that's $120 a month. Allahu Akbar, takbir, we have number one. 2 orphans, inshallah. Who's going to be the second, inshallah, bismillah? The second, Allah, Are you raising your hand? Or are you dead? Bismillah. Anyone? 2 orphans, inshallah, tonight? Bismillah. Taib, khair, inshallah. I would like to see everyone to participate in them because those are our own Muslim orphans. Imagine, there are many entities, I would say, waiting for us to fail so they can sponsor our own Muslim kids, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. One child, inshallah, for 12 months, $60 a month, inshallah. Bismillah. Who's going to be number one? Bismillah. Allahu Akbar. Number one. We have number two. How about those? Here you go. I'll give you one. I have some pins too, if you want pins. Here's number two. Bismillah. Where's number three? Inshallah. Bismillah. Bismillah. Anyone? $60. Allahu Akbar. In the back. In the back. Bismillah. Here you go. Some. You want some pins, inshallah? If you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine, inshallah. But I'll give you some pins. But we need to encourage one another, inshallah. It's a good opportunity, bismillah. Bismillah. I have only 2 minutes left, ya khwana. Bismillah. 2 minutes left, inshallah. Bismillah. And do not wait till Ramadan. If you wanna, we can start charging your card in Ramadan, but do not wait till Ramadan to sponsor someone or to donate, because we don't know whether we're going to be here in Ramadan or not. Or you know what? We don't know actually whether we're going to be here for tomorrow morning Fajr prayer or not. Let's grab this opportunity just right now, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Fill out those pledge cards, inshallah. I'll be waiting here, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. 1 more minute, inshallah, to collect those. Bismillah. Anyone else? Raise your hand, Yaki, so the brother can give you the pledge card. Bismillah. Anyone else? You want more of that? Here you go. Bismillah. Yeah, take some pens with you. Bismillah, bismillah. Any from the sister? Any more from the sister, inshallah, Rabbi. Sister in the back, yes. She raised her hand, inshallah, Rabbi. Can you go back, inshallah, Rabbi? We have plenty of those. We have children from Lebanon. We have from, subhanAllah Rabbil Alameen, from Bangladesh. We have from Syria. We have.
I'll circle these around.
Yeah, inshallah Rabbil Alameen. So you can write down on it where, which country you wanted to sponsor a kid from, and write down whether it is a boy or a girl, inshallah Rabbil Alameen. 1 minute left, inshallah Rabbil Alameen. And you have, if you have any question, I'll be here till the end of the program, inshallah Rabbil Alameen. We wanted to collect those right now. Bismillah. Are you done with those? Because I'm done. And we'll go back to the Sheikh, inshallah, Rabbi Amin. Anyone has a question?
Yes.
No, it's not working.
Okay, let me hit it real quick. Let me hit it real quick. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, mashallah.
These are blank.
Blank?
No problem. Jazakallah khairan. Really quick, before we have going back over here, inshallah ta'ala, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am the general manager of Gaijuiz TV, the only Islamic TV channel in America. Man, this mic is hot, mashallah. So, really quick, what I want to be able to deliver right here, right now, inshallah ta'ala, is there anybody here that would like to be like this with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah? Anybody here? Raise your hands. You all better raise your hands, mashallah. Is there anybody here that knows someone? Maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your father, maybe it's your uncle, maybe it's your aunt, maybe it's your best friend. Is there anyone here that knows somebody that you would like for them to be like this with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah? You all better raise your hands again. Everybody pull out your cell phones. We're going to give you a simple link that you can send it to someone, as well as to post onto your social media, that you can help to deliver this message, as well as to support our own orphan children. I want you to think of these kids as if they are your own children. Why? Because they are. They are. All the times you guys see on social media about GoFundMes and whatnot like that, help to with my kids. Imagine that it's your children. But now, again, I want you to know that it is your children. These are just my kids, the same as they are your children. They are Muslims. They say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So again, pull out your cell phones. Pull out your cell phones. We're going to do something that's very simple, very innovative, bid'ah. It is very good way in order, inshallah ta'ala, to share this. Pull out your cell phones. Make a text message. Pull out your cell phones. All of you, don't make me come back there. I'll see you, akhi. Pull out your cell phones, mashallah, he doesn't have a phone, Wahhabi, mashallah. So what you want to do is to make a text message. The phone number is 71777. The phone number again, 71777. You're going to send the message, M as in mercy, W-O-L. M-W-O-L, mercy without limits. Send it to 71777. Phone number again, 71777. Send the word M as in mercy, M-W-O-L. Okay? M-W-O-L to 71777. Send that off. Who got the link back first? MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairan. Take and click on the link. Now, it may say that it's going to charge your phone. I promise you it will not charge your phone. Click on the link when it comes back to you. When you click on the link, look at the bottom. You're going to see right at the bottom there to where you can share it. You can put it on your Facebook. You can put it on your Twitter for the Arabs. And you can also take and send it in an email or in a text message. You can send it to your friends. You can send it to your family. Again, post it onto your social media at least. And you can share it off, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Before we start, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Before we start with the question and answers, I would like to first finish off what we were just talking about. I said that a gallon of gas, I'm assuming that you would pay $2 for gas, is that right? per gallon, right? So 1 gallon of gas a day will be 60 a month, is that right? So if you could spare 2 gallons of gas per day, you can handle 2 of these children. And if you can handle 3 gallons of gas per day, that you could spare that, that you would be willing to give that to save, literally save them from unbelievable difficulties, then you're helping 3 of these kids. He only went up to 3, but I'm telling you, if anybody can sponsor a whole oil well, that'd be great too. You can do that, all right? Muhammad Hassan has actually contacted us about this, and I had to check it out before I got involved because I don't like to put our name of Guidus TV with something that is, you know, questionable. And I was very impressed with the work and also impressed with this. My wife and I have been sponsoring these kids for a while. And you'll see this thing right here. It has a picture of the child on it. Well, after you get going with it, you'll get a whole thing that comes in the mail from the child, and you actually will have them write to you. If they're old enough to write, they might be writing in Arabic, especially the ones that are in Turkey. So if you know Arabic, you're okay. But if you don't, you'll have to get somebody to help you translate it and also to be able to write back to them. This makes a huge difference in their life. They're waiting all, what, like 2-3 months to get this letter from you, and when they get it, they go absolutely crazy. They can't, their feet won't touch the ground. They're so excited. And you bring that kind of happiness in there, not just by the money, because they don't even know about the money. They don't think about that. They know that somebody cares about them. If you were in that condition yourself, feeling it, you would know exactly what I'm saying. And then we'll go back to what I told you about the wealth of this world and what is it really worth. So don't let this chance get by you. Now, he's still walking around here, so if you would like to do something, maybe you just want to do something one time, he's got a box there. You can put something in it and as he passes by. You need to go slower, and you need to look in their faces and go like this, like that. Yeah. Come on. Get with the program, man. Anybody else want to do something tonight, just put your hand up. He can pass by over there, and you can do it. MashaAllah. All right. Now, how many of you have a car? Anybody has a car? You have a car? Does it have bumpers? Some countries don't allow bumper stickers. Did you know that? I was shocked because I just, from Texas, that's how we hold our bumper on, actually, is with bumper stickers. We have this one. For Guidus TV, it says, worship the Creator, not the creation. Worship the Creator, not the creation. Simple as that. That sums up the whole talk that I was given tonight. So much so, there was a brother that he has, I think it's a Lamborghini or one of these kind of cars. Anyway, he put this in the back window of the car because he wanted to wait till it got washed to put it on the car. And a man passed by and he saw this, worship the Creator, not the creation. He started asking him questions. He said, what does this mean? So he started talking to him about Islam, what it means. Islam is the surrender to God on his terms. That's what it means. He said, really? Next thing you know, they're calling me. And I go up there, it was in New York, upstate New York. Within 20 minutes, the man accepted Islam. And guess what? The next day, he sent a text message. He said, this is the best day of my life. And it all came from a piece of paper. Many people see these. Many, many people see these. And maybe you don't know it. And they don't even remember, but they start worshiping God without partners. Not praying to Muhammad, not praying to Jesus, praying to the God that they prayed to. And that's Islam. As soon as somebody's praying directly to God, just like the prophets told them to do, they're hooked up. And it's up to Allah to guide them. Don't worry about that. They don't have to go through our websites. They don't have to read any certain book. They don't even have to read the Quran. They don't. But they do have to do one thing. All of us have to do the one thing. We have to be sincere with our Creator. If we're not, all the reading, all the thinking, all the actions, everything is worthless. So I just want to mention that. And we have some of these out there, and you don't have to buy them. I don't sell anything. You donate whatever you want to do to help us do more. And we use 100% of this, whatever is donated, for our efforts. That's as good as you can get. Alhamdulillah. All right, so we took a question last night, but the question, the answer to it took so long that we didn't have time for any more questions. So if anybody would like to ask a question tonight, sisters, if you would like to ask a question, you can write it down and send it up, and we'll try to our best to do that. If you can write it down, send it up. Or, Mohammed, you're back there. If you can, if they tell you something, if the ladies have a question, if you can get that and relay it up to me. No questions? I was hoping nobody would have a question, then I'd get away free. That's a good question, and one that I can't sneak around either. He's asking a question about dawah. That's what we do. I gave up my business. My wife and I had a business in a plastics company. We gave it up because we has so much effort for this dawah. It takes time, and alhamdulillah, it was the best decision I ever made in my life, but now I'm responsible for everything, like 10 times more. When you ask a question about when we started the dawah, has it changed any? There are certain things, obviously, that won't change. Like, for instance, it's still mandatory to try to give it. It's the in the salat tonight, the Imam Muhammad, he read the ayah in the Quran. He said, the translation of it, who is better than the one who is calling to Allah? And it's a rhetorical question, because anybody calling to Allah, calling to God, to worship God alone without partners, that's what it's all about. Has it changed? I don't think that dawah has ever changed. I think since the time of Adam, Noah, Moses, all of them, they were calling their people to the same thing. However, I think I've changed a lot in the way I call. I started out watching these videos of Ahmadinejad, rahimahullah, and reading a translation of the Quran that had a lot of commentary in it. At the time, I didn't really know anything other than that about Islam. That and what I was learning from individuals at the masjid. But experience to see the people who come to Islam and then asking them, what was it that motivated you? Why did you do it? What was the thing that you saw that attracted you? And after listening to some of the responses, I realized this is not a contest. It's not salesmanship. You're not trying to sell used furniture. You're not selling a piece of property. You're not selling an investment. The reality is that you're just calling people to Allah. That's the reality. There are two factors. One, they go to Allah. The other, they go to Shaitan, right? Is that basically it? You either go to paradise and be with Allah or go to hellfire and be with the devil. That's simple as that. So why would I want to debate somebody about anything that they believe? Because as soon as you start a debate, you automatically have put them in one corner and you're in another corner. And you drew a line like kids do in the play yard. You know, I draw a line, you step over that line and I'm going to hit you. And I step over the line, blah, blah, blah. That's a line there. And I'm going to say my side and you say your side and I say blah, 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 blah. Maybe somebody would come to Islam from that. Maybe not. But how about this? When I first met the Muslim that helped me, I was trying to convert him to be a Christian. And I was trying to play that game, you know, salesmanship. But the first thing that wound up, we were sitting there together in a shop having tea. Not across from each other, he was sitting next to me. We were having tea. How do you like your tea? A little sugar, a little lemon, something like that? Not a debate, a friendship. At least companionship, somebody with you. And we're on the same side already. I want the guy to go to paradise, right? I really care about the person. So if I'm going to do this, and I really believe in God, Allah is the one going to guide him, not me. Is that true? So what if I just gave somebody a bumper sticker and I never saw him again? What if I did that? If that's all I did and they came to Islam, would Allah know that? Would he record that? Yeah. Is the sun too bright for you? The sunglasses. Ah, very good. Thank you. Yeah. You can leave that here if you want to. Huh? MashaAllah. All right, anyway, the idea of the dawah for me is not to try to put somebody away from Islam, to just let them understand what Islam really is. And how can you do that? How could anybody do that if you're trying to make it like a competition? It's not a sport. Does that make sense? So any opportunity I get to sit and talk with somebody, and here's a key. Try not to say everything you know. Listen to them. Sometimes you'll hear something from the person and realize they're a lot closer than you thought they were. Or they got some ideas that are in line with Islam already. They are human after all. They came from the same God, so they probably do have a lot of stuff already in line. Just need to realign some things. Don't think that the Christians are far away from Islam. They're not. They are not. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said it. The closest to you, meaning the Muslims, are the Christians. But look what Allah said about that subject in the Quran. In the Quran, there's an ayah that a lot of people know the first half of, they don't know the second half. When I was a Christian, I did not like somebody to read half of a verse then half of a verse from somewhere else and another verse from somewhere else, and then try to tell me God said this, God said that. Yeah, if you put it together like that, if you want to pick and choose the words, just say whatever you want to say. Usually Muslims will recite the whole verse, but I don't know why this verse winds up being only half. And it's the verse that all the people in Dawah always use. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Kuntin khayra umatin. Ukhrijat linnas. Ta'maruna bil ma'ruf. Wa tanhauna anil munkar. Wa? Tu'minuna billah. How many of you know the verse? You've heard it before. At least you've heard it. That's only half the verse. The translation said you're the best. You are the best raised up for all of mankind because you call to Maruf, you forbid al Munkar, wa tu'minuna billah, and you believe in Allah. And I was questioning this part of the verse because everywhere else in the Quran, you always find aminu wa amilu salihat. You always find that the belief in God is first, then the actions of the muamala. But in this verse, it said, and you believe in Allah. And the scholars, they said, how are you translating Maruf and Munkar? I said, well, you're calling to good and forbidding evil. They said, no, that's not right. That is, generally speaking, but in this case, it's the ultimate calling to good. What's the ultimate call to the ultimate good? La ilaha illallah. You're calling to la ilaha illallah. You're calling to Allah. And you're forbidding what takes people away from Allah, and you believe in Allah. And if you didn't do that, how could you say you believe in Allah? Ah. Now it makes sense. What's the rest of it? وَلَّاوَ مَنَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرُ لَهُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَارُ فَاسِقُونَ. The people of the book. The people of the book. If the people of the book, the Bible, the Jews and the Christians, believed correctly, it's better for them. مِنْهُمْ. From them, المؤمنون. Are true believers. From them are true believers. Well, أكثرهم فاسقون, but most of them are fasik, fisk, corruptive, disobedient. I showed a translation of that to a pastor one time. Talked to him about it. He said, you're talking about my congregation, aren't you? He really thought that I'm talking, like, yo, yeah, I know they're like that. I said, this is in the Quran. He said, what? Yeah. So that is why I like to focus on finding what we have in common, how we can get together. Allah says in the Quran, I don't know why we keep getting this feedback here. Maybe if I put it over here, I don't know. Use the desk one. Huh? Oh, okay. Now this shuts off like this. Yeah, it's off now. Yeah, is this better? Yeah. Man, that was hurting my ears. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and we hear this about every Friday, Juma, we hear this. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Everybody knows that one, right? Yeah? O you who believe, give Allah his haqq, his rights. By what? By having taqwa. What is taqwa? Anybody know what's taqwa in English? It means a shield, a partition, to put yourself behind a partition against Allah's ghadab out of fear of what you know is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. That's the whole long story behind it. But they will say God-fearing or piousness or something like that, but it doesn't really get the meaning out. The word taqwa is shield, to put something between you and something else. That's taqwa. So that's Allah's right. You do that, and you'll be all right. And then he said, and don't die except as a Muslim. One who is in surrender, submission, obedience, sincerity, peace, security, and safety with Allah. All of those words out of Aslama, from Silm, Sin Lam Mim. You imagine? Anyway, but look what happens right after that. Allah is actually setting it up for the next verse, and nobody ever reads it. Almost nobody. وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَارَكُوا. Now, I'm guilty of what I just said. I just only give you part of a verse, but it's enough to continue. And all of you, jamia, hold on to the rope of Allah, Hiballah. Hold on to this rope of Allah together. And then he said, Wallah tafaraku. What is farak? What is farak? Separate. Don't separate. Do Muslims separate themselves from each other? We're not supposed to. Are there different groups of so-called Muslims in the world? People call themselves Sunni Muslims. People call themselves Wahhabi Muslims, Shiite Muslims, Sufi Muslims. Yeah? Which one's best? That's a trick question. You know that, right? That's a big, big trick question. As soon as you say, well, the one that I'm in, that's Shaitan waiting for you. He's waiting for you. What was the big mistake of Shaitan? Did he kill somebody? No. Did he steal something? No. What was his big thing? He's going to hell forever. What was it? Arrogance. Exactly. Exactly. Whoever has this kibr, that's a big problem. And how many times have I been around Muslim groups and they always tell me they're the best group? Join us. We're the, like, Muslim Brotherhood or the Hamas or the, and I'm not saying anything wrong with them, but just the idea, why do I have to join a group? I joined Islam, isn't that enough? Is it? According to one, what is it, the name of it? Alawin. Anybody heard of it? Alawin? Alawi? Huh? Alawi. Yeah. I call him Halloween. Because the examples that I met are really way out there. I met one, he said they don't have to pray. He told me that. We don't have to pray. And he also told me, you're not a real Muslim. I said, really? What did I do wrong? He said, you have to be born a Muslim and your father has to call the Adhan in one ear and the Akama in the other ear. Really? He called me on the phone and was shouting at me one time and then he hung up. He was also waving a gun inside the masjid and they picked him up for that, but yeah. So, yeah, Halloween. So there are a lot of groups out there, but Allah told the believers, leave off that. Just stay with the Muslims. Can I call myself a Muslim? Yeah, Allah called us Muslims. وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Allah calls us Muslims in the Quran. And He even said that. Wow. And He told us not to divide up into groups. He said it. So what group do you want to be in? I'm Hanafi. You're Shafi. I don't like you. What is that? I met a convert one time. He had only been in Islam 6 weeks. And I was old timer. I've been in Islam a whole year. Anyway. And when I walked in the door, I saw the guy. I said, hey, what's up? And he said, Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. He said, no, you have to give it to me more. I said, okay. Wa alaikum salam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 6 weeks, he did learn a lot. He said, what madhhab are you? I said, well, yeah, I know what's a madhhab. I said, the madhhab of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, no, that's not good enough. I said, whoa, really? He said, no, you have to choose one. There are four. Actually, there's a lot more than four, but anyway, there's four. You got to choose one. I said, really? Yeah, Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali. Choose one. Can't think about it? What is that? Actually, what did the imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Muhammad ibn Idris, who is Imam Muhammad ibn Idris. Anybody know? Imam Shafi, yeah, that's his real name. Yeah. And if you don't even know his name, how are you saying you're following this guy? And you don't know anything he said, really. If I'm not mistaken, Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, that's where I got it from. He gave us quotes from each one of these great imams. And they're so similar that you could just put it all together. Basically, they're saying, if you find anything in Quran and Sunnah that is contrary to what I said, take what I said and throw it away. Basically. I make mistakes. Some days I'm right, some days I'm wrong. But that one, and that was Imam Malik, he's pointing over at the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, said he didn't make any mistakes. So whatever he said, you take that. So I hope and pray that we will all stay on this deen, the deen of real Islam. Anybody else have a question? Say no. I told you, say no. By the way, if you want to ask me a question, be sure I know the answer. It makes me look smart. Our brother's asking the question about some people. They have a lot of intellect, they have a lot of knowledge, but at the same time, how much do they really know? Are they not aware of what is Islam or what is the Quran? Yeah, they have a PhD in the Bible, but do they know? And the question is so general that I have to say, Allahu A'lam. Because I don't know all of these people. And an individual, even if I know one individual, I would still have to assume some things about him. For instance, there's one that comes on television, and a lot of people watch him, and Muslims like to watch him too. out of Houston, Texas. His name is Joel Osteen. Anybody ever heard of Joel Osteen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you know why you like to watch him? Huh? Because you keep waiting for him to say something that's going to really put him over. But at the end of every one of those, he makes sure to say, in the name of Jesus. Do you know he does that? Because he doesn't want to lose his Christian followers. They have taken him to task in the past because he didn't focus enough on who Jesus is. So I don't know what he knows. I do know that from the one who was with him. We gave shahada to one of his close people. A bishop from the Christian church accepted Islam with us, named Micah, and he traveled with us for a while, and he shared with me about Joel Osteen and about his dad and about things that they do. Now, Joel Osteen was a cameraman for his father when his father was on Christian TV, and he knows a lot about framing shots. Now, we're just using this little simple operation here, but when you have cameramen that have the earpiece and they have a director, and the director's telling each one of the cameramen how to go in, get close, pull back, get a fuzzy shot, now get a clear shot. All of the things that they're telling him to do, this is all scripted because they know exactly what he's going to say, where he's going to go. And he gives signals to them by walking over to this spot. They have marks on the stage. And when he stands here, you're supposed to have the camera like this. And when he walks over here and turns this way, that camera, and so on. All of that is staged. All of that is staged. And it really gets his point across. You can't help but watch his stuff. If you like good old boys, he's a good old boy. And he's telling about stories that happened in his life. So, does he know? I don't know. Is he aware of what this is about? I'm not sure. And there are others like that as well. There are some that have really thought that they were going to convert me back to Christianity. And then we sit together and talk for a little while. And then they just walk away or they accept Islam. But they know they don't want to get in a debate. What is there to debate really with a Christian anyway? Why? Why would you want to take somebody out of their religion and expose them to the chance they become atheists? Because that's what you're doing. Instead, let's help them get closer to Islam, and if you can't do that, leave them alone. Does that make sense or no? Either help them or get away from them, but don't expose them to some of the knowledge that you might have that could leave them without any hope. Because if you expose the fact that the Bible really is impossible to be from Allah, because they don't have it. They don't even know exactly where any of it is anymore. Not a scrap. The largest piece is a very small little piece that I saw in Manchester, England, in a museum. And we took pictures of it and everything. But it's 2 centuries after Isa. 200 years later. That's when it was written, 200 years later. That's as close as you can get. Now, they have manuscripts that refer to other manuscripts that are gone. But the bottom line, they've got zero that they can actually point to and say this is this or this is that. The Hebrew of the Old Testament is very clearly gone. Very clearly gone. That's why when they discovered the Dag Hammadi scrolls in Wadi Qumran, they call them the Dead Sea Scrolls, but they're Wadi Qumran is where they found them. Anyway, those scrolls that they found, this is why the Catholic Church got involved and why the Yahudi got involved. This was found on Muslim property. This was in Jordan. Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. We got to roll out. Anyway, just to give you some idea, they were very, very concerned that they're going to find out something, and that's why they shut it down. Those scrolls were not permitted to be public access for 40 years. 40 years they went through and examined, and along the way, I'm sure if there was anything that compromised it, it gets pulled out. So we'll wrap it up with that. I don't know what's in anybody's mind. I don't know what they're thinking. People do have PhDs in the Bible. I know one particular Muslim from Egypt who is a PhD. He's a professor at the university in Bible manuscripts and in the Hebrew language, and he's a Muslim. So what's he thinking? I don't know. Alhamdulillah, I mean, let's make some dua, inshallah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all of us, to keep us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to keep us and our families away from the trials, tribulations, and chaos of all of the things the shaitan is trying to stir up around us. Ameen. And help us to be real callers to the real deen. Ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasan. Wa fil akhirati hasan wa qina adhab an-nar. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد الحمد لله رب العالمين. And don't forget about that dua that you can make for sickness and illness and diseases, etc. جزاكم الله خير.